Mother is a good friend of Thor Johnson, the conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony. When the symphony comes to play in Beloit, she invites all the members, along with the music faculty of Beloit College and other musical friends, to an open house after the concert at our house at Chez Nous. Everyone comes and has a good time. But the first cellist, Walter Hiermann, is particularly charmed. He wanders the house smiling beatifically. He walks around the lawn in the moonlight, taking deep breaths. He ventures a short way into a hayfield. The second clarinetist and the harpist also walk in the moonlight, hand in hand out by the asparagus. When the party starts to break up, Walter Hiermann makes a request. Would it be too much imposition to stay the night? It's so beautiful out here and fresh and out of the city. How much more lovely to wake up to the singing of birds and the scent of lilacs than to traffic noises and a hotel room. I could take a walk in the fields before breakfast. Mother is surprised, but rises to the occasion. She has to leave on a 6 a.m. train. In her role as vice president of the National Federation of Music Clubs, she'll be speaking to a music club in Chicago, but she thinks rapidly. She has plenty of bacon and eggs and coffee and orange juice, so breakfast is no problem, although others will have to prepare it. And there are spare beds. She graciously extends an invitation. Thor Johnson overhears. That's a beautiful idea, the conductor says. Might you have room for one more? Mother invites Thor, too. And when the second clarinetist and harpist get wind of the house party, they become eager. They, too, would love a night in the country. Possibly? Possibly? Could the Dogans add them in? Well, says Mother, wondering how many more of the orchestra will ask to stay, and totting up eggs and bacon and beds again. Miss Hardwick, you could sleep in my son's room. He's away playing in the dance band. But I'm afraid Mr. Brissom would have to sleep on the couch. Mr. Brissom assures Mother that he'd be delighted to sleep on the couch. The open house ends. The orchestra goes back to the hotel, all except the conductor, the first cellist, the second clarinetist, and the harpist. They all sit around some more and talk and laugh. Then beds are made up, good night said, and the house becomes dark and still. At 2 in the morning, Craig tiptoes into the back hall. He's come home unexpectedly. He goes up to his room, undresses in the dark, pulls on his pajamas, and starts to crawl into bed. He's startled to encounter a feminine form, smell a feminine scent, and hear a feminine murmur. Honey? Oh, you mustn't. But a feminine arm starts to embrace him. No, I mustn't, agrees Craig, and beats a hasty retreat to the hall. He stands and thinks. If someone has been given his bed, that means all spare beds must be full. So he takes a blanket and pillow from the blanket closet and pads downstairs to the living room. He'll sleep on the couch. He unfurls the blanket, wraps it around himself, fumbles for the couch, and sinks down onto it. He sits on a body and leaps up quickly. The body makes a grunt and then sighs in a sleep-laden voice.
Oh, sweetie, is that you?
I'm afraid not, Craig whispers. Go back to sleep. Craig gives up. He goes over to the fireplace. He arranges his blanket and pillow and curls up on the hearth rug with the dog. The next morning, Mother and Mr. Hiermann are up at dawn. Mother makes her train. Mr. Hiermann wanders around the yard, sniffing the lilacs, treading through the plowed fields, gazing across the valley toward town. He returns with a fistful of violets and lilies of the valley for the breakfast table. Patsy and Jackie fry bacon and eggs. When the second clarinetist and harpist show up for breakfast, they meet Craig. Later, Craig relishes telling the family of his nocturnal odyssey. "I felt like Baby Bear," he says. "Everywhere I went, I kept finding Goldilocks. And the funny thing was, I seemed to be the only one surprised. And this morning, when that second clarinetist and harpist met me, you should have seen their blushes."